Welcome, everyone, to RB1 Colon and Fantasy Football Podcast, Bada Thinking Podcast Channel. I am your humble host, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by just one of the guys. It is resident old man Clark Barnes. Clark, how you doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
Splendid. Just the two of us. We can make it, Clark, if we try. I feel like someone should write a song about that and write a song about us. Yeah, I feel like it would be a hit, you know, maybe like one, 2 decades ago. I feel like people would listen to it. And since it's just the two of us, we're just going to talk some news. Obviously, the biggest news that went down was Carson Wentz, now no longer a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. He has, in fact, been traded to the Indianapolis Colts, reunited, and it feels so good. That also seems like it could be a good song. With his previous offensive coordinator, Frank Reich. And the trade was a 2021 third, a 2022 second that could become a first. So straight off the bat, Clark, do you like this trade for Wentz, for the Colts? Like, what is your vibe now that Carson Wentz is hopefully reuniting with someone who can bring out, has proven that at one point could bring out the best of him?
So this is our second Carson Wentz has been traded show. Are we sure?
Is he going to pull?
I think the first time it was like a first in Nick Foles. I thought that was a, you know, not great to give up a first and get a slightly worse quarterback back for a second and a third. I imagine for this to become a first, the Colts have to like win the Super Bowl or.
Carson Wentz is a throw for like 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns.
Okay. So I think it's a good move for the Colts, right? A second and a third, let's call it. Maybe a first if Wentz is like unbelievably productive, which you'll give up.
Which you're happy to surrender that if you're getting a quarter, if you're getting, you know, 2018 Carson Wentz, even if you're getting 2019 Carson Wentz.
Yeah. So a couple years on, an expensive but not outrageous deal. I think Wentz was one of the first to sign his new deal, and it was good money, and it's a lot, but it's not Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Mahomes money.
No, so I think it's a fine move. Pete Mahomes, his twin brother.
Yeah. Second and a third, it's better than Jacoby Brissett. It's better than anyone you're going to get for a second or a third
round. Is it better than 2019 Philip Rivers?
I think it's at least neutral.
Okay.
Philip Rivers really showed us that it was him that always threw interceptions, because Frank Reich runs a pretty fairly conservative offense. I want to say Reich was the offensive coordinator when Wentz was vying for MVP and having a really good season. A whole lot of uncertainty in Indianapolis. T.Y. Hilton, don't know if he has anything left or if he's going to be with the team. I think they're going to run. I think Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor are going to get the ball a lot. It's how they've built their team. And I think Wentz is good enough to be a plus game manager still. And so I'll just super early probably only be betting on the Colts running game and probably not going to take too many shots on Wentz or their wide receivers.
Yeah, so that's a nice transition into kind of what our fantasy feelings are for Wentz in 2021, because there is a potential, like, if you, in reflecting when this trade went down, I looked back on Carson Wentz's stats, and it's easy to forget that, like, 2019, he threw for 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Like, those are really good numbers, and that's just a year ago, and this 2020 kind of descent was... kind of out of nowhere. And like you said, Clark, a lot of it came from, it seemed like, Carson Wentz playing hero ball, doing too much. And that led to like the 15 interceptions he's also surrounded by really no one in Philly. And we'll talk, Philly also got rid of even more of their wide receivers. So we'll talk about that too, but put in an offense where maybe Frank Reich, he's going back into a scheme that he knows and a scheme that prioritizes ball possession, playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL with a very solid run game and guys like Michael Pittman Jr., Paris Campbell, if he's healthy, you know, Jack Doyle is perpetually always there and doing something. I don't think it's out of this world to think that Carson Wentz could at some point in 2020 touch like QB1 value, being a top 12 quarterback in fantasy. I don't think that you should be drafting him like that. I don't think that you should be like, if you can maybe buy super low on him in dynasty leagues and get him, that's certainly worthwhile. But I wouldn't expect Carson Wentz to come into 2021 and be like, start immediately putting up QB1 numbers, or even, as you love to say, Clark, top six numbers. Like, you know, if you're playing in a one QB league, QB1 is, you want the top half of QB1. So I think that there is a lot of potential for Wentz to return to what we have seen in the past, but I'm not entirely sure what the real Carson Wentz is and what we'll see in Indy.
I think the range of outcomes here could be that, you know, maybe Carson Wentz really just fell off a cliff. But my dog's freaking out. Hold on a second.
So much later that the old narrator got tired of waiting and they had to hire a new one.
Sorry. So the range of outcomes here, I think, is much more likely that Carson Wentz continues to be a viable quarterback in the NFL, because once we've seen someone do it for a year or two, it's much more likely that they're going to repeat, instead of someone who we're just waiting on and hoping that it happens. I think going to an offense with an offensive coordinator who seems to be a plus coach.
Yeah.
I think the Colts have outperformed expectations the past couple of years. And it's just because they're kind of doing smart stuff. They're playing good defense and running the ball. It's kind of the personnel that they have after like a devastating loss at quarterback, right? Totally unexpected loss at quarterback. So I think it's more likely that Carson Wentz becomes, you know, a 10 to 12 to 15 quarterback who we can spot start and who we feel good about and who's worthwhile as far as adding to what his wide receivers can do fantasy wise. Of course, the other end of the spectrum is that, like, whatever he had is gone. And I just don't think that that's it. Watching the games last year, it seemed like Philadelphia just stuck with the plan, even though the plan was obviously not working. But they stuck to it. You know, Miles Sanders finally had some breakout games and the Eagles started to look good. And then it seemed like they went away from that. And it doesn't seem like Frank Reich is the kind of coach who's going to do that and force Wentz to just do everything when there was just, the Eagles offensive line was in tatters. You know, like, it was just a tough year and people have bad years. So I think it's a plus move for Wentz, but I'll take him in dynasty for a very low cost, but I'm not going to bank on him becoming Andrew Luck.
Sure. You're not right. Getting so hyped about him that you're like, kind of like Carson Wentz, super sleeper to be a top five quarterback this year in fantasy. We talked about on last week's show, we were giving our favorite landing spots for tight ends. And we ultimately kind of came to the conclusion, you particularly, Clark, that it doesn't really matter which tight end goes or which, it doesn't really matter the tight end. It matters the landing spot. And if a tight end goes to an offense that does accentuate the tight end position, that will get you more excited than, like, say, Hunter Henry going to whatever team. Given Carson Wentz's propensity, like, we've seen him really target the tight end position. The Eagles offense has been really built around Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. Does Wentz in Indy make you more excited about Jack Doyle, Trey Burton? If the Colts were to bring in a tight end, do you see the Colts now as a good spot for tight fantasy tight ends? Or are you still kind of lukewarm on him?
I think there's still going to be a spot start situation because Reich does use the tight end, and it's tough to tease this out, but even with Brissett, the tight end was getting the ball. Phillip Rivers, of course, has a history of going to the tight end, and so does Carson Wentz, but, like, Indy has talented tight ends. I know it's funny. It's fun to make fun of Jack Doyle just being, you know, not the most athletically talented, but seems to catch the ball an awful lot.
Yeah.
And Trey Burton is that unbelievably athletically talented guy who we just really haven't seen put together a season. If they got another tight end, I would be excited about them as a streaming option, but there's too many talented players there to spend any draft capital on a tight end who's definitely going to share the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a great like point to enter 2021 with. I would keep a lot of eyes on Jack Doyle or whatever the tight, you know, who knows what their offseason is going to look like, but however the tight end depth chart presumably shakes out, because it could be something that we do see Carson Wentz very quickly build a rapport with a Jack Doyle or a Trey Burton, or if they have a tight end, just given his propensity for that. But you're right. Neither of them are exciting me as much, just like Wentz. I'm not so excited that I'm bumping anyone up my rankings. Finally, on this bulletin point, the Michael Pittman Jr. evidently has, Carson Wentz has reached out about taking Michael Pittman Jr.'s number 11. And Michael Pittman Jr. has said, no, which led to an interesting conversation on Twitter. And I pose this question to you, Clark. What is the worst number for a quarterback to wear? And why is it 16?
Can you wear a zero? I don't know.
No, I feel like they should be able to. I feel like you should, NFL players should be allowed to wear zero or even double zero. Double zero, rock that.
For whatever reason, double zero seems cooler.
Right, right. Than just single zero.
Number one's kind of lame.
Sure, throwing shots at Cam Newton. I see. Same at Kyler Murray. Wow. Clark taking down the young studs of the NFL. Because yes, Cam Newton is a young stud in this NFL.
Cam Newton's like 8 years younger than me. And it's like, oh.
I always hate that. Especially NFL. I mean, it's still pretty true for the NFL, but like basketball, man, basketball is where it ultimately, like, you'll see players who are best in the league and you're like, they're 23 years old. Like, God damn it. How are you this good at anything at 23 years old? Ugh. I think 16 is a really bad quarterback number. And I know Steve Young would beg to differ, but 16 just doesn't do it for me. 19 is also weird. That would be my final thoughts on this.
I feel like outside of having fun with it and doing something for charity, quibbling over numbers is the height of tedium. Like, if you do it to raise money, that's awesome. And to drum up hyped for like the local food bank, that's great. But if you really care about your number, I mean, come on, guys.
But you got to think about branding, Clark. Like, I mean, you know, your Twitter handle at NFL Clark, you wouldn't suddenly just like start writing about basketball, because why would they follow at NFL Clark to talk about basketball? It's all about branding. When you can market yourself, I'm trying to think, like, basketball is a great, again, with basketball, like Paul George, PG-13, great. CP3, Chris Paul, number 3, perfect. What is basketball? Does football have TB12? There you go. Brady took away Chris Godwin's. Carson Wentz 11. It doesn't have the same ring to it. Maybe Wentz should move to 12. Just pretend to be Andrew Luck and see if he can kind of harness some of that power and ability. On the flip side, do you think that the Eagles are going to stick with Jalen Hurts in 2021, or will they draft a quarterback at the top of the draft this year?
And you can do both. Jalen Hurts is a second round quarterback. That's not a lot, right? Didn't he go early?
Yeah, he went in the second round.
Yeah, that's not a commitment. That's, you're outside of the first round QB. There's just a whole lot of math and science and diagrammatical engineering into that. He's not a first rounder. I don't know if someone falls, I don't know why you wouldn't take them. The Eagles have been pretty good drafters. What was the tackle, Dylan, that they drafted when they just,
oh yeah,
didn't need anyone right in front of the Texans? They seem to be right.
Not that you're holding on to that for you know, not that that's
crushed. I wouldn't reach for one. I mean, I think you're going to start Jalen Hurts this year. Yeah. That's just seems pretty obvious.
But I would hope so. He looked, I mean, again, I got on Denver for getting all excited about Drew Lock and his 5 starts back when he, you know, played whatever back was that 2018 when he did that, or 2019. And so obviously I need to temper my excitement for Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Hurts did look really good in his starts this year, and also just looked explosive and exciting. And from a fantasy standpoint, like, that rushing ability was certainly something that was had a lot of people salivating. But if the Eagles are fully committed and like put weapons in around him, I will be very excited for Jalen Hurts in 2021 fantasy football. If the Eagles draft quarterback in the first round with their whatever 7th pick overall, then my Jalen Hurts excitement will be tempered. But right as of now, I would draft Jalen Hurts in fantasy over Carson Wentz. I feel like that's not that hot a take.
Rushing is cheating for quarterbacks.
It is. Right. So it's, I mean, yeah. It makes sense. That's all we got for that trade. But there was some Eagles news that went down. I had this at the end of the news, but since we're talking about the Eagles got younger wide receiver. They released DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. So do either of these guys have more left in them, Clark?
DeSean Jackson is my Danny Woodhead. I know. Of recent, I cannot stop drafting DeSean Jackson in like the 14th round. So if he gets signed, I will probably be like, perfect. Sneaky 15th round pick, DeSean Jackson, guys. He's fast.
DeSean Jackson to the San Francisco 49ers. How early do you draft him?
Right. I mean, 13th round, right? Like,
is there any team that pushes him into single digits for you?
No, because I've been hurt so much.
Alshon Jeffrey has nothing left.
I'll get sneaky and take a kicker on a team that I think is going to score a ton, and then maybe go for D-Jax, and then we'll just pick a defense who's got a good week one matchup. Like, that's right. My D-Jax love.
That's
Alshon Jeffrey.
D-Jax no. After a kicker. Wow.
Yeah. Tough end to a pretty good career, man. Like, when he was at his best, he was very, very good. So I'll remember those times.
Yeah, it was a bummer that he never really kind of pieced it together in Philly. I mean, he had those 2 years early in his Chicago career where he had 1,400 yards in 2013 and then 1,100 yards in 2014. And then in Philly, he only went over 800 yards once and just kind of dealt with injuries and just didn't really find – he wasn't the same super productive wide receiver that he was in Chicago. So kind of a bummer. I'm sure he'll – I don't know. I don't know what he'll do. Where would you rank him along with perceived veterans on the market, AJ Green and T.Y. Hilton? You don't care.
Oh, he's behind those two guys.
Okay. Cool. Just, getting a gauge. Going to cut in quickly for a very brief but very important ad break. All right, we are back to whatever it was we were talking about. Yeah. All right, in more quarterback news, Ben Roethlisberger has come out and says he wants to play next year for the Steelers. However, general manager Kevin Colbert has said, quote, "We told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this situation. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers, A, move on from Ben Roethlisberger, B, aggressively go get a viable backup quarterback to more or less replace him, or C, say, fuck it, let's run it back and let's see how far Big Ben's noodle arm can take us."
So unless they get Trixie in the draft and really just want to run a rookie quarterback out there, I mean, they don't have any choice except to play Roethlisberger again. I think I could see them setting up the tone for, we want you to want it. We want you to get skinny. We want you to go down to Tampa Bay and drink some baby blood with Tom Brady and rejuvenate your career, and we're going to bring someone else in and you better be nice to him. I feel like is a decent message to send, because what else are they gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
I mean, like, would you rather
good quarterbacks out there?
I feel like, to me, this is like a perfect Cam Newton spot. I would love Cam Newton in Pittsburgh, because I think that he feels like a good Big Ben replacement, can throw it down the field, is a big physical guy, can obviously run with the football. And I think the Steelers, and it seems like they are, which is good of them. And I mean, like, they are a smart organization. They need to be thinking about this, but like, they need to get a backup who's basically a starting quarterback, because if Ben Roethlisberger continues to struggle, you can't turn over to Duck Hodges or Mason Rudolph. Like, you need to have someone back there who can actually, carry this team. I also, journeyman Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't finished every single AFC team yet. this would continue to help it collect all whatever 16 Infinity Stones.
Cam's going to be an interesting topic this offseason. He had a rough year, but I watched a lot of those games, and not like I'm some genius or anything, but Patriots just did not look good just all around. And so I'll be in again on Cam Newton at a price. I mean, not at a high price, but like, if he went to Pittsburgh, I'd be very excited. I'll drink the Kool-Aid again. Like, I don't think Cam looked great, but there was so much going on around him. I mean, Jacoby Myers is your wide receiver one. Like,
yeah, when
you could have a good career, but boy, that's a lot to ask of Jacoby Myers. So I'd be excited about Cam.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think there have been a lot of reports, or it seems like Cam has been in the news recently, and hopefully he's going to, I want him to stay around in New England, because yeah, I am not a, there are New England fans who are like, Cam Newton sucked. He was the reason our offense was garbage. And no, dumbass New England fans. The reason our offense was garbage was because we didn't have anyone for him to throw the football to. So I think there's obviously limitations in Cam's game that has come with age, come with multiple, you know, shoulder surgeries and injuries, but he has, there were things that he did extremely well last year, and with good offensive talent around him, he really could thrive. I think Pittsburgh would be a great landing spot for him, but I would also love for him to stay in New England. I am not selling my Cam Newton dynasty shares. There's my level of confidence in him.
Oh, me neither. You're not going to get anything for him. And there's big growth potential. Like, it could remain nothing, but you're getting nothing for it right now. So, that is the ultimate hold, just because you can't sell it for anything.
So. The franchise tag is getting handed out on Tuesday, I believe, which is actually the day you'll be listening to this as we record these on Monday night. But likely franchise tag candidates, Dak Prescott obviously seems like he is destined for it. Chris Godwin has also been batted around as someone who will get it from the Buccaneers. And Kenny Golladay getting the franchise tag for the Detroit Lions, which seems... Yeah, Clark is giving me wide eyes, because it doesn't make sense to me. For obviously Kenny Golladay, I mean, get the hell out of Detroit.
Kenny Golladay on speed dial with Calvin Johnson right now, discussing their love for the Detroit Lions.
Hall of Fame, Calvin Johnson. Yeah, for the Lions too, it doesn't really make sense, because you're going to be paying a lot of money for, I mean, I understand you want to keep talent in house, but Kenny Golladay has been dealing with injuries the last couple, like he wasn't on the field this year. Your Jared Goff is your quarterback, question mark. And you're probably going to lose Marvin Jones. It just seems to me that the Detroit Lions need to do a restart, flush everything out, and like build from the ground up. And franchise tagging, unless you're intending on like a tag and trade, franchise tagging Kenny Golladay doesn't seem the best thing in the world to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe a sign and trade. I don't know. You wonder what the incoming head coach is thinking. His name escapes me. I know some people are pretty excited about it. The Lions aren't completely bereft of talent, but I think it's going to be a pretty tough year. If the coach doesn't want to do the rebuild and wants to ride Goff for a year and draft a quarterback and kind of do that deal, I could see keeping Golladay around, because he... Man, just those, you know, Alshon Jeffrey, those tall gazelles.
Yeah,
just it's really hard to get the crap beat out of you at the NFL level. And if you already have ankle problems and leg problems, well, they just seem to not go away. But he's a young guy. I would want to keep him around so that I could trade him for like a second round pick to somebody or something instead. But he's good. Defenses have to respect
him. Oh, yeah.
When he plays, he sucks the safeties over to that side.
100%. No, I mean, I don't want this to happen, because I want Kenny Golladay to go a team where he's actually fantasy viable. I don't know how much I'm going to put any faith into the Lions offense this year in fantasy, except for maybe TJ Hockenson. Even DeAndre Swift, like, this is what pains me. It's like, I would love for DeAndre Swift to be like a chess piece in this offense and move all over. And with who's their OC? Their head coach is kneecapper himself, Dan Campbell, whom I don't really entrust to have the, I mean, I don't know what their offense is going to look like, but if they decide to just run DeAndre Swift down the middle of their offensive line three times and hope they gain 10 yards, I don't think it's going to work too well for them, but who knows? And the Kenny Golladay tag was a little surprising.
They have a couple of exciting running backs and Jared Goff, so I would run.
Yeah. I would also run away from this team. So there's a lot of running happening in and around Detroit. And speaking of running backs, my final news bulletin, Chris Carson, unlikely to be re-signed by the Seahawks, according to The Athletic, which we had talked about back when we did our favorite running back landing spot. Chris Carson, yes, he dealt with some injuries, but he is, I think, a very underrated running back, both in the NFL and in fantasy football. The guy puts up extremely solid numbers, and in an offense where I it's crazy to say like an offense that would highlight him more than the Seahawks, because the Seahawks can't stop running the ball and love to run the football. But I think that I'm very curious as to where he lands, because he's coming off of, I mean, in 2019, he had 1,200 yards, 2018, 1,100 yards. And then this year he only played 12 games, but still racked up 600 yards, 4.8 yards per attempt. Like, he's a good running back.
Yeah, I agree. I would feel very comfortable betting this is negotiating through the media, and Carson's going to go back to Seattle on a pretty decent little 2-year deal that's not outstanding, but that's what Chris Carson is. I agree with you. He's good. I mean, he runs really hard. I know sometimes we get infatuated with the Tony Pollards of the world, and this is something Nick and I need to talk about on the podcast this summer, because I really believe getting that 3 yards on second and three is incredibly important and underrated in statistics, but maybe overrated in film watching. And we probably both need to kind of come to a more centrist, I may need to come to a more centrist approach there. And Chris Carson's really good at getting that 3 yards on second and three, and that keeps drives alive. Not super flashy, but runs super hard and puts up good numbers. He's a must start when he plays.
100%
fantasy wise.
Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, there are a few running backs on the market who could change teams, and Chris Carson seemingly, as you said, it could be a negotiation tactic, and he might stick around in Seattle and he might be heading to a different team, which is something I'll certainly monitor.
If he leaves, I hate to paint with such a broad brush stroke because there's 31 other, I'm not very excited if he leaves.
Interesting.
He's the kind of running back who would go to a new team, and it seems like he's the kind of running back who would go to a new team and disappoint. I don't know, the Seahawks offense, defenses have to pay a lot of attention to Russell Wilson, and that can help you.
Well, yeah, especially when you got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett running down the outsides. Yeah, you're right. Chris Carson could be.
I just don't know why they wouldn't bring him back. Like five.
I don't know why either.
5.5. Year for 3 years or something. I mean, he's
especially
young.
Since Rashad Penny hasn't shown you really anything. Like, it's not like you guys you have like someone clearly who's going to, you know, step into that role. Except for maybe Russell Wilson, because, you know, maybe he's just your new running back.
Pete Carroll in the ultimate, I told you so, slots Russell Wilson as running back and drafts.
Yes. Carson he says, Palmer. How dare you talk ill about the offensive line that I've put you in front of? You don't want to take so many hits? We're going to make you a running back, and now you're going to have to take all of the hits. It'll help promote Russell Wilson's nano bubble technology. He won't get injured anyways. So
I'm going to be bold with zero consequences and say that Chris Carson plays for Seattle next year.
Is there a better way to be bold than with zero consequences?
You heard it here first.
I love the news bulletin. Chris Carson likely not to sign with the Seahawks. Conclusion of our conversation. Chris Carson's back at Seattle. Ignore the news. Before we go, you ready for some quick breaking news?
Our way.
Nothing really incredible, but Sam Darnold is generating, quote, real trade interest per Ian Rappaport. The Jets, I think, are playing it slow. You know, I think they're going to do their due diligence as to whether or not there's a rookie quarterback they're actually intrigued by drafting. But in this year of quarterback turnover, we might see Pittsburgh. Sam Darnold. Yes.
You just.
Oh, there you go.
Take my first.
Yes, take everything.
And I'll give you money, and then let's do it.
I
think Darnold's perfect. Good. I mean, not like maybe the best in the league, but God, he really flashes some good games when Gates got out of the way.
Yeah, he makes some throws. Like, he can make every throw, and sometimes he does ridiculous pass. Exactly what you said, where it's like he was able to flash outside of Adam Gase's offense that like kind of held him contained. If I were the Jets, it's one of those instances where it's like when you're at the top of the draft, like you should take the quarterback, especially in a class where there are a handful of good quarterbacks. Obviously Trevor Lawrence is number one, but you know, there are guys in this class who are well worth drafting, but I would have a hard time moving on from Sam Darnold when you've only seen him under Adam Gase, and you know Adam Gase is not a quarterback whisperer, because the only time he was ever a quarterback whisperer, he had Peyton Manning. So you can't really call yourself a quarterback whisperer when you're whispering to one of the best five quarterbacks in NFL history.
And fortunately, for entertainment purposes, it has become a I'm not kidding running joke that leaving Gase is so good for our
so good stars. For you. It is proven. It is like 100 batting 100 so far, or batting 1,000. There's the correct term. But yes, the players leaving Adam Gase and then suddenly becoming really good, batting 1,000. So if I were the Jets, I would obviously listen. You always listen to any kind of trade offer, but I would be hesitant to move Sam Darnold. But you make a great point, as we were talking about Pittsburgh earlier in the pod. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, you are calling the Jets, and you're saying, take whatever you want. We would love to have Sam Darnold under house.
Yeah. I was wrong about Josh Rosen, I guess. I'm
poor Josh.
Bitterly admitting that. I feel there's got to be a couple teams that would give you a first for Sam Darnold. I mean, San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Pittsburgh. Ugh. Right. Yes. Like, I don't know, man.
They never trade with the Patriots, but I mean, is BB not going to send a first for a young quarterback who he thinks he can mold? Maybe not, but maybe. I guess at 15, you could hope someone falls to you. But yeah, Sam Darnold in Pittsburgh or in San Francisco. Whew. Sign me up. Yes, please. Well, that's all we got. You know, we're in the doldrums of the NFL offseason. Things are slow right now, so it's just going to be quick, low pods, and that's what's beautiful. You're just going to hear our voices, quick, concise. We're in, we're out. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and basketball shows. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at PDM Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark. We will be back at you next week. Until then, peace.